Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumatikos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Walk by the Spirit and You Will Not Fulfill the Desires of the Flesh, or sarx. Sarx is the New Testament Greek term, of course, for flesh, or the term that has been transliterated, flesh. I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Of course, this is the Apostle Paul. Well, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh lusts the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But if you be led, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I know these are old terms. Idolatry, with very poignant terms. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, murders, both actual physical homicide and murders of the heart, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do or practice, such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit, the carpos of the Spirit. Now, the word fruit is in the singular. It is a singular noun, not a plural noun. But the fruit of the Spirit, the pneumatos, is, notice the language, but the fruit of the Spirit is, state of being verb, love or agape, 1 John 3:16, etc. In the Greek New Testament, the term agape is what we call a noun of action. A noun of action. Please note the continuity, note the interaction, and the interdependence of the fruit of the Spirit. One cannot have one without the other. This is a whole. And so, what Paul is emphasizing for us is the holistic nature of the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore the character of Jesus himself. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, God's own peace, the peace that characterizes the divine essence, God's own peace, long suffering, macrothumia. Macrothumia is a term which means patience toward long suffering. Gentleness, very important spiritual characteristic. Very important. Gentleness of speech, gentleness of manner. The term meekness means strength, and we will get that in verse 23. Strength under control, meekness. We have gentleness. We have goodness. And then pistis, or faith. The word in the Greek is pistis. We walk by faith and not by sight. Here in verse 16, Paul enjoins us to walk in the Spirit. Verse 23, meekness. We've already spoken briefly about meekness. Temperance, or self-control. Self-control. Against such, there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are, notice the verb, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, or the sarka, flesh, with the affections and lust. If we live by the Spirit, or if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And that is the last of, this is the last verse of chapter 5. And so, Paul has laid out for us in verses 16 through 26 the essence of the spiritual walk of the believer. The believer is to be spirit-filled. That is, that estate is to be normative for every believer. That is the normative state for every believer. Or, let me say, should be the normative state for every believer. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul states, and be not drunk with wine. And be not drunk is what we call a present imperative, middle. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with Spirit. And the word here, filled, is also a present imperative, middle. The believer is to see that his life is controlled by the Spirit of God. He is to submit his will unto his Lord. She is to submit her will to the Spirit of God. He is our Kyrios. He is our Lord. He is also our Savior, or our rescuer, the one who has rescued us out from under the penalty of sin. He is also the one who has rescued, or who is rescuing us from the power of sin today, at this moment. He is rescuing us from the power of sin. When he returns at the parousia, that is, when he returns for the snatching out of his called out ones, then we shall be rescued or saved from the presence of sin, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, to be filled with the Spirit is a powerful gift, and it is to characterize the daily, moment-by-moment experience of all the believing ones. Now back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul states, Lego Dei, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now the very walk is the present imperative, and the imperative teaches us that this is a command, and it is to be done at once. It is a command that is to be done at once. This is not a suggestion. It is a command spoken by Paul through the Spirit of God. This is how one becomes pneumatikos, or the spiritual realm. This is how one becomes a spiritual one. Walk in the Spirit. And the prefix peri means around, P-E-R-I. It means to order one's steps. Order one's steps in Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it powerful? Order one's steps is to order one's feet in the Spirit of God. Paul gives through the power of the Spirit the command which we are to process and understand cognitively. We must understand the necessity of walking in the Spirit. There is a divine imperative that is given to us here. Walk in the Spirit, order one's steps in the Spirit. There is a cognitive element which has to do with the intelligence. This is to be the appropriate and ordinary life of the believing one, to walk in the Spirit. Then there's the behavioral aspect, the cognitive and the behavioral, united in this verse, walk in the Spirit. The doctrine is given to me in the form of gnosis, that is, the teaching of the biblical doctrine is given to me in the form of notes. That is, I take in divine phenomena or divine information. This phenomena or divine information is processed by my Spirit. And as I believe doctrine and as I hide God's word in my heart so that I might not sin against Him, this phenomena or gnosis becomes epignosis in the Spirit or in my human spirit. My gnosis becomes epignosis as I, by faith, live the Word of God that I take in. Now, I may take in gnosis. I may go to seminars where I gather more gnosis. I may read books, which gives me more gnosis, more gnosis or more information about divine phenomena. But if what I learn as information is not transformed by my spirit or processed by my spirit, and this information does not become epignosis. And a head full of gnosis will do no good in the very active war that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, which is called spiritual warfare. I will not be able to take up the armor of God, and therefore I will not understand that doctrine. But walk in the Spirit, and notice what Paul states, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This word not, who may, in the Greek, it is given in the, it is that in Greek. This word who may represents a strong negation about the. This word strongly denies the possibility filling the lust of the flesh, if I walk in the Spirit. And so, may is a word that represents, a term that represents, emphatic negation, or strong negation about the future. If I walk in the Spirit, or if I order my behavior in the Spirit, I shall not, you shall not, fulfill the passionate cravings, the gnawing yearnings of the flesh. Very important. Many spiritual lives that could be robust, that could be powerful. Many spiritual lives that could be winsome. Many spiritual lives that could represent a wonderful, or in a wonderful manner, the presence of Christ, are compromised by believing ones who do not understand this doctrine, or they have been under the tutelage of persons who do not understand that if we live in the Spirit, we must. DEI. It is necessary, the nature of the case, that we walk by means of the Spirit, or order our steps in the power of the Spirit. When Jesus, or that is before he began his public ministry, we read that he was filled with the Spirit. And so, when the Holy Spirit took him, or threw him into the wilderness, very graphic verb, when Jesus was thrown into the wilderness to be tempted, hupo, under the devil. We learn something about the necessity of being spirit-filled, or having our personalities, having the characteristics of the soul controlled by the Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Spirit. And so, when the enemy, we say, well, he quoted Scripture, which he did, but it is important to understand that everything about his life, that is, about the life of Jesus during that time and in his public ministry, was under the control of the Spirit of God. And so, to be cast into the wilderness, to be tempted, hupo, under the devil, represents a very severe test. And I want you to note, when you get a chance and you go back and read about the victorious temptation event in the life of Christ, I want you to note that the temptations were all in the area of flesh. Lust, verse 16. Epithumion is the word in Greek. Epithumion, passionate craving, the yearning after. You're going to see this word again in verse 24. Right at the end of verse 24, we're going to see the behavioral catalog of the flesh beginning at verse 19. But notice verse 17. For the flesh lusts epithumia, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. Now, the word here for lust speaks to the mind, So the flesh attacks the mind. But the flesh lusts against the spirit. The flesh mind, the sarx mind, lusts or fights against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And note the diametrical nature of lust and spirit. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot, again, in verse 17, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, there is an untranslatable particle given in verse 17 that I don't have time to discuss at this point, but it shows us, this untranslatable particle shows us a very powerful conflict that is at work within the heart of the believer. And this very powerful conflict that this untranslatable particle brings out teaches us something very important about counsel. And that it is imperative for a biblical counselor or biblical counselors to understand the powerful work of the flesh and what it does to a believing one, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There are some wonderful counseling models that provide certain results, positive results. But then the battle that we are talking about has to do with the spiritual life of the individual. And sarx plays a very real part and why many believers have not found satisfaction in their spiritual life. Paul goes on, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verse 19, very famous, the works of the flesh and the erga is the Greek. That is the energy of the flesh. Now the ta erga, that is the energy of the flesh, the energy of the sarks, are, notice, state of being verb, are manifest. Which are these? Moekia, moekia. And it is transliterated as adultery. Then we have pornea, which is translated as fornication. Pornea, of course, is a word, a Greek word from which we get our term pornography. Pornea refers to illicit sexual intercourse between unmarried persons. Adultery, moekia, refers to sexual intercourse between a person who is married and a person who is unmarried, or between persons who are married. Next we have akatharsia, akatharsia, which is transliterated as uncleanness. The word basically means filth. Then we have thalgia, or lasciviousness. And this word means ready for all pleasure. It refers to hedonism. And in one of the writings of Paul, he actually uses the word hedonism. Idolatry, idololatria, worship of false gods, pharmakia. Pharmakia, and I won't be able to go any further in this show, which has been transliterated as witchcraft, means literally a poison. Pharmakia refers to those traffic in drugs. Pharmakia. We have hatred or hostility. Hostility will shorten an individual's life. Hostility will shorten a person's life expectancy. Hostility will tear down a person's immune system. Hostility has been related to heart disease. And so this is a very, very powerful list, and one well worth understanding, because failure to walk us, to live one's life within the Spirit of God, has very distressing consequences. It is very important for all believers to understand that God knows what is best for us. God knows the life we should live. God has provided Zoe for eternal life for us all, that we might live lives that are full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory until He comes for us. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.